repping the left side or the right side, depending on. Yeah, exactly. I appreciate having the opportunity to be able to preach and hone my skills of sort. And, you know, Aiden was talking about his weekend. I was with Aiden, for you guys that don't know. But when you're getting older, the young people have, like, this recovery time that's different than yours. And it's like the first day you hike, the second day you hike, then you're like, okay. Like, you know, everybody wants to get up early and go to breakfast, and then they want to, like, hike all day and go shopping and then have. Up right now. I'm delirious, so I'm not going to lie. I got to turn this on, sorry. For you guys that know Jeremiah, Calista, Aiden, and Kendra, Jada and Elliot, we were all together and for the weekend, and man, it is something to have not been around young people of such high caliber when I was young. And to be able to see young people of high caliber is awesome. To see them in action, to see what kind of people they are, see how they think and how their lives reflect it, it's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's a real encouragement. It was a blast. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 18 to start this weekend, or this afternoon, Luke chapter 18. I'm going to discuss two topics. It's kind of like two little mini sermons. So it's kind of like two shotguns smashed together in a way, because I'm working through a set of topics that me and Marshall have been talking about, and one is the willingness to be persistent in our prayer life, and the other is our willingness to be persistent in discipleship. So I'm going to smash them together, talk about some things you guys already know. The question is do you believe them, and will it be driven from inside to do it? Okay, Luke chapter 18. I'm going to start verse 1. I'm going to read through 8. It's kind of a unique parable, and it's a little strange, but I'm not really going to focus completely on the parable as much as one section of it. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse number 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he would say to himself, even though I do not fear God or respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So Jesus tells this parable about a persistent prayer and a woman who was pestering the unrighteous judge. We're not going to really talk that much about that. It's really a kind of a unique parable and could probably be its own lesson. But what I really wanted to focus on, the writer, Luke, what he says at the beginning, the very first statement that he makes, it's a rather unique statement for parables, because usually you see parables defined in a later location. This parable is defined right from the beginning, and he makes a statement, and he says, now he was telling them the parable to show them that all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. So we get the meaning right from the beginning, which is kind of unique. And I like that, because then I don't have to wonder what it's about. It's kind of, you know, it's easy. But have you guys ever prayed for something? I mean, really, really prayed for something that you wanted, and it not go as you planned? I mean, anybody who's praying, I think, has had this happen, right? That maybe you just seen a lack of movement or a lack of direction or a lack of response. And I know everybody's like, yeah, no response is a response. And I get that, you know, I get that too. But it's always interesting how you feel about it. Satan always likes to plant seeds of doubt about whether you're being heard, about whether he sees you, whether what you want is really righteous. There's always kinds of seeds of doubt that are planted that way. And let me ask a different way. So have you ever prayed for something, and I mean really prayed for something, with all your heart, but you weren't persistent in asking? So for all you guys that know me, I've said this 1,000 times. I think I get this from my dad. I'm going to blame it on you for sure. I'm a very deliberate person. I mean what I say what I mean most of the time, and that wasn't good for a long time because I just was too forward. But I say that because I would tell God, here's what I want, here's what I think, here's how I'd like to see it, and then I just leave it. I would not pray for it again. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest, like that was a chunk of my Christian life. But if you read your Bible and you visit regularly, in no fashion, in no way has God ever encouraged that. It is not a practice that God encourages. God wants persistent requests. Now, we know that we should pray always, all the time, everywhere. We've heard that a million times. We've recited it to each other. But if I just ask one time and I know that God knows what I want and I don't ask again, eventually I'm going to run out of things to talk about pretty quickly. And so the question is are you persistent with your prayer? Are you persistent about the things you desire? Now, I'm not going to talk about, where it's driven from, or I'm not going to talk about whether what you're asking for is by faith. I'm not going to talk about any of those things. I'm just talking about persistence today. And if you ask yourself if you're persistent, what would be the answer? You ask once, you ask twice, maybe a third time. You guys ever tried to do something and gave up too soon? Yeah, I have this regret that I didn't play an instrument in high school. I played the snare drum. Do you guys remember that? I had the snare drum in my room, and I'm sure everybody hated that at the house. But I played a snare drum, and I can remember, like, I did it for, like, a super short time. I don't know why I quit, but I quit for some reason. But I always regret not playing an instrument and giving up. Like, it's one of those things, you know, when you're a football player, you're like, the kids in the band are nerds, and cool. And then all of a sudden you realize when you graduate they took something with them, and you're a nobody. Like, you're like, oh, what just happened here? Like, I think all of us have had scenarios where we wanted something, but we gave up too soon. Losing weight, learning an instrument, learning to play guitar, whatever it may be, right? Getting shape somehow, but for whatever reason, we didn't see results quick enough, and so we quit. I think prayer is kind of similar. It's like we pray about it, pray about twice maybe. Okay, God's answer is no. We accept it. And we don't give it another thought. And so I'm not positive that that's really God's desire. And in several occasions, he's telling us that that's not his desire. We'll go to a couple of those. But I think, if I could say this, often I think we bring prayers to the Lord that are important to us. And we pray about it today, and we may even pray about it tomorrow, but we stop praying about them. And our ability to be persistent really reveals the level of commitment we have to that thing we're praying for. Let me ask you, how important is something you prayed about once or twice? Really, let's just be honest. Is it something that dwells in your mind, dwells in your heart? You desire it, not just as a desire to get something, but you desire to know about it, to know what your place is, why you're here, why you're there, what's happening. I feel like anybody who's honest will answer that question. Like, our level of persistence always reveals how much we really want it, how much we really care about it. And so the same is true with our prayers. Our level of persistence will reveal how much you really care about it, if you ask yourself. I don't think the Lord's point was that God doesn't always immediately answer prayers. It's one of the points, but I know that he hears us and he wants to hear us, but God's looking for people, particularly those who are in Christ, obviously, for our personal growth, to get past like feelings of sulkiness, or to get past of childish feelings when we don't get our own way, and or discouragement that we get when we don't get what we ask for. But I have a particular attitude in our prayers, and to have a particular attitude in the answer of our prayers. And he's asking, I mean, he's looking to teach us something by whether we're persistent or not. I want to encourage you guys, if you will, that you keep asking about your children. You keep asking him about your spouse. And you keep asking him about the local body. You keep asking him about the church as a whole. You don't ask once. I know all of us who are parents, we have plenty to ask about our children. All of us. We keep asking about our own personal character and growth, our loved ones who aren't in Christ, the kid who's coming to take your daughter, whatever it may be. It takes lots of prayer, right? Lots of persistent asking. There's a lot attached to that. God wants to know how persistent we are and how much we really care about him. Turn to Luke chapter 11 with me, if you would. Just a couple chapters back. Luke chapter 11. This is always interesting to me because I find that people, including myself for a long time, have read this. Everybody knows this text, but they've read this, and they automatically assume that this was written for people who just don't know Christ and need to find him. But it's definitely not. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read 5 through 10. It says, "And then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he answers and says, 'Don't bother me, or do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed and I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be opened." You know, for a long time, my brain always told myself that was about people asking for God, asking to know Christ. Ask, knock, seek. But if you look at the beginning of the text and the beginning of the chapter, you go, you know what he's teaching? He said, Lord, teach us to pray. Those who are in Christ, teach us to pray. Those who know Christ already, teach us to pray. It wasn't like he was talking about those who didn't know Christ. He was talking about those who did know Christ. And so I find it interesting that those who did know Christ are being taught to pray. It's like, ask, knock, seek, ask, knock, seek. For all of us, not once, not twice, but persistently. I think some people are really great at this. And they know God's fully in control, and they ask regularly, and they talk to God regularly, and I think some of us have a ways to go. So I just want to encourage you guys to do that. I think too many people quit too soon as far as prayer is concerned, and I think that there's a lot to be learned by the text all throughout the scripture about how often and how persistent we ask. You know, you think about God as our Father, right? And we're his children of faith, and how God is working to increase our persistence. I think every father wants his children to be persistent. Every father is trying to teach that stick-to-itiveness, right? They want their kids to do things well and stick with it even when it's difficult. You know, I was, what do you guys think about a parent who gives their kids everything they ask for right away? I know what you think. And we know the result of it, right? We get spoiled kids. Hence, why do you think our awesome Father, by which we are children of faith, would just give us everything we ask for right away? If he's a good father. My kids, I had a deal with them. It kind of backfired on me. But I had a deal with them about a car. If they would save half, I would pay the other half. Well, in my terrible line of thinking, I didn't give them a cap. So, like, my son decided to save, like, $6,000. I'm like, hold up, dude. Like, I'm not buying you. I'm not matching your price. Like, so, like, it was one of them things, like, you know. But so I did the same thing with Jada. But you find out very quickly how much they want their freedom, how much they want to drive, how much they want that, and how persistent they are when they've got to come up with half, whether it's legit or not. And so I think God is the same way, right? Like, as a awesome father who teaches his children persistence, God is like, let's see how much they really want it. And if they have the character that I have given the ability to have to elevate, to be elevated in their asking. I think that's easy for us to see and clear for us to see. And I just want to be an encouragement for you guys to keep asking. Several texts. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, be devoted in prayer. We all know what devoted means, right? Romans chapter 12, I'm going to turn there real quick. Everybody, yeah, I got time, I think. Romans chapter 12. You know, everybody knows this chapter. They love this chapter. I'm going to read just 9 through 16 really quick. I've got to kind of start buzzing through, so forgive me here. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 16. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. And bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There's a great stretch of scripture there, but be devoted to prayer. Can we all say our prayer life is devotion? Devotion. Would you say, like, I am solely devoted to God in my prayer life? I think that's a fair question. Do we not see it over and over and over and over and over again in the text? He wants to hear from us. We say these cliche things. He cares about us. He's concerned about us personally. He wants to hear from us. Does the devotion that we have in our lives reflect that we believe that what we're saying? Fair question. So there's lots of other texts. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, right? Men ought pray everywhere, right? So the question is, how devoted are we? And will your commitment to the level of prayer that you have show your commitment level to what you're asking for? You know, if you really, really want somebody to be well physically or even spiritually, like, does your devotion to the prayer and the commitment to them show that you love them? Love them enough to ask. I'm going to shift gears because I'm running out of time. So I'm going to shift gears to the second portion of this, which is our willingness to be persistent in discipleship. In the same way, I think our willingness to be persistent in prayer is reflected in our willingness to have persistence in discipleship. And I think in discipleship it takes, you know, prayer's hard to be continually dedicated. It takes discipline. But man, to be disciplined in discipleship, I think is much harder. And I say that because with the prayer, it's me and the Lord, and it's about me making time, caring about what I'm asking for, being dedicated to that. With discipleship, there are other people involved, and they aren't always willing participants, and that makes it difficult. I say that because persistence is really required in just reaching one person. We all know that, right? Just one person, just making one disciple is difficult. It takes real persistence. It takes phone calls to remind people that they have Bible studies. It takes us dealing with people with some major character flaws. It takes us to deal with big personalities. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about, baggage that comes with discipleship or family feud and intervention, all those things. Those are big words. Those are big commitments. Big disciplines, and it takes persistence. It's work. It's drama. I hate drama, but discipleship is drama sometimes, And it does take persistence. And I say that, and I want to encourage you, not discourage you, obviously. But our willingness to do this thing that we talk about, discipling people, learn how to disciple people, even and don't let me get my wires crossed here. I'm not telling you that you have to be the person at the table, doing the Bible study, leading the Bible study, and that's the only way that you're important, discipling people. I'm not saying that from here. I'm saying that play your part in the discipleship process, whether it's making contacts, whether it's being friends with someone and turning them to studies, whatever part you play, that's what I mean when I'm talking about discipleship. I don't want you guys to misconstrue the fact that I think only the person teaching the discipleship and teaching the Bible study is the important person. So the reason I mention that is because we find really quickly whether we're serious about it or not, because discipleship's so difficult and has so many obstacles, if you're not mentally prepared to deal with the obstacles, you will not do this. Period. Life is short, and we all want to enjoy life. And so our brains and our physical man can tell us, like, dude, like, why would I want to deal with people's messy lives? Why in the world would I want to deal with these bad divorces? Why in the world would I want to deal with people's dumb decisions? Like, you can see it happen, and it's like a train wreck. It's about to happen, and they just keep making these bad decisions one after another after another. Like, why would I want to deal with that? All of us can ask ourselves that question. It's very easy to say, I don't, and I'm not going to. And you can decide whether you're going to be on board or off board in regards to discipling people for the sake of Christ. But I think if we believe what we're preaching, if we believe what we're doing here, if we believe why we're here, then it'll be easy for us to answer that question. If we understand what we were saved from, where we've come from, man, there's some people here from some bad spots in life that are here. Like, when we all can realize how merciful God has been to us, and the hope that comes with sharing the message of the gospel, it's easy to answer those questions. It's easy to preach it. We know that eternity is worth it and glory is worth it if we believe in those things. So we love people more than this short life of ours, and we have an eternal perspective, and that makes it easy for us to answer those questions. That there's more waiting for us on the other side if we're obedient, that helps us answer those questions. And it's going to take persistence. And let me be the first to tell you guys, I just want to encourage you that discipleship is, you ever met someone who, like, when you do something, they always know a better way? Oh, you should have done this and that, and that would have done this and fixed that. And okay, yeah, all right, thanks. Thanks for that. Like, and it's, everybody's met the one-upper. Like, you tell something that happened to you, and they're like, oh, no, I had this happen. And they one-up you. Like, I think a lot of that time, the reason I say that is because it's important for all of us spiritually to not disciple in theory. Like, for all of us, once we start to get some of these reps under our belt dealing with humans, I think it's really easy to be very, very patient with everybody who's trying to disciple, because we all understand. Man, you poured a full year into that person and nothing panned out. That's tough. Man, I sympathy for that. The reason I'm saying that is because I think that it's important for all of us not to be critical of what each other are doing, to not be, you know, looking at people and be like, oh, you should be doing this. And Andy mentioned it earlier, you know, like that he felt at some point in his life that a lot of things were driven like that. They were driven from how many Bible studies you had, and what are you doing, and how are you doing that. Like, our perspective as a local unified body ought not be focused like that. You can see that the result of that wasn't positive. And, you know, it wasn't something that motivated him by faith. It was like this thing that he felt he had to do. But on the other hand, the reason I'm saying this is because I don't want all of us to have some kind of perspective that people are like, I'm not examining what you do. I'm not the spiritual police here. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to help you if you need help. But ultimately, I don't want us to have a perspective of always thinking we could do it better. Let's not do it in theory. Let's actually do it. Everybody get out there and do it. Everybody do their part. Everybody make a contact. Everybody try to find a way to contribute to the local body with a study or with a relationship for a study, however you fit in, whatever your part is, that you not do it in theory, that you really do it. And we all start to get reps. We all start to get experience in our in whatever part of our life is. So persistence is going to be required to do that. And you guys know, too, persistence in working for new contacts is a lot of work. It takes a mindset. We had some conversations about that in the truck when we were down there this weekend. Like, okay, like, oh, you met somebody that was from Ohio. Is it a... Jada met somebody, some girl who was a server in Montana who had an Ohio tattoo. And I was like, okay, like, how do we use it as an opportunity to just make a contact? We don't have to be friends that day. She's busy. She's serving the table. But like, oh, I'm from Ohio too. Where are you from? I'm like, hey, my name's Jade. Like, those discussions about talking about how to make contacts, everybody knows how hard it is. You have to be persistent. There has to be a mindset associated with it. Something in your heart that is a desire, a passion to share the gospel. But what I really want to get at is that we're going to wade through a lot of no's to get a yes. And I think everybody knows that. But what I want you to also understand is you're going to wade through a lot of yeses to get a real yes. There's a lot of people you're going to get a yes from that you're just not going to stick. And so keep asking, keep working through it. Keep, don't be discouraged by the no's, and also with the yeses, just know, you can wade through some yeses too. It's part of the process. But, the only motive really that's strong enough for all of us to continue and be persistent enough to share the message of the gospel is biblical Christ-like love. I think persistence really shows whether we love people or not. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to hustle real quick through this because I'm about out of time here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Aiden quoted a little strip of this earlier. By the way, guys, I appreciated class in the Lord's Supper meditation. Good stuff. It was really good today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse number 4. Love is patient and love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If I love someone who's lost, and I love my family, and I love those people who I want to reach, it's going to bear all things, believe all things, right? Hope all things, endure all things. It's going to find a way to make it, to be persistent. Love bears all things. It's interesting as you disciple people. It's always interesting how, I don't know if anybody's had this experience, I'm positive that some people in this room have because I've had a conversation with them, but it's interesting that when you share the message of the gospel, sometimes it flares back at you when you bring the message of the gospel to people, and they're like upset at you for sharing the message of the gospel to them for the things that you've said. And that's always difficult, right? So you got to be able to bear some of those things. Also, I think there are always challenges as far as bearing things and having persistence to bear things. People who are having Bible studies with and are contacts, they're not on time. Sometimes they miss. They don't put priority on the Bible study. Now, you've set aside all kinds of things to be able to have this Bible study. You've worked it into your schedule. You've stayed up late to prepare. You've done other things. And then they call and they cancel. Well, part of that is bearing through that because they don't know the importance of what you have for them. They just don't know. And so you being able to bear that and be persistent in that bearing is really, really important, and be able to do it with a great attitude. But also, you know, people aren't always mentally present when you're at Bible study, so be able to bear that too. TVs are on, kids are yelling, music's playing, things push for attention, whatever it is. Just encourage you guys to continue to try to bear through those things, because it takes some real persistence. Persistence is love, and love believes all things. Flip your Bible real quick to John chapter 4. I'm going to wrap up here. John chapter 4. We've read this the last few weeks. It's actually been in some of our lessons and some of our texts. Persistence requires us to believe all things. John chapter 4, verse number 35. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they're white for harvest. Do you guys really believe that there are people out there who want to know the message of the gospel? We've talked about this in the last several weeks. Like, we hear lots of people like, man, no one will listen. No one says yes. No one's, like, when we're expecting no's, we get no's. But if Christ said that the field is white, the field is white. I don't care what you say. I don't care what I say. It's white. There are people who want to know, people who have no hope, people who, they don't even know what they want, but they know they want more. They know they need something, and they don't know what it is, and they can't get their thumb on it, but we do know what it is. If we'll just ask, just get an opportunity. Be persistent. If we love them, we'll be persistent, and we'll believe it too. I mean, nobody wants to go study with someone who doesn't really believe what they're saying. Nobody's going to believe you if you don't believe you. So believe that the field is white. I'm just going to recite this real quick because I'm ending. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, Paul refers to those who do work in the kingdom as plowmen. And it's interesting. He said the plowman ought have hope. And the thresher in hope of sharing the crops. The plowman ought have hope, and the thresher ought have hope in sharing the crops. I have hope that the love that we have and the persistence that we have will harvest. Will harvest. We won't be 25 people. There are more people that want to know the message of the gospel if we'll just do it. Do our part. Be persistent to do our part. As I wrap up 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, it reads like this. This will be my last verse and I'll be done. Paul wrote, this is really what a persistent person in Christ looks like. Ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, in afflictions and hardships and distresses and beatings and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and hunger and purity and knowledge and patience and kindness and the Holy Spirit and genuine love and the word of truth and the power of God by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, and as punished but yet not to death, as sorrow yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many men rich, as having nothing yet we possess all things. It's a description of a persistent worker. Let's be persistent in what we do. Thank you.